So this, but the whole month of Nisan is miraculous awakening from above. Normally, we have to do a lot of the work. Nisan, you can get an awakening from above, which is very opposite. We normally have to make that awakening from below. But the fact that Nisan itself, you actually get the awakening from above. You know, you could see that, just to give you a sample what that is, the first night of the Seder, everybody's into the Seder. Because that's an awakening from above. Everybody. No matter religious, not religious, I need to go to a Seder. Sometimes there's like a tremendous desire to go to a Seder. Whether they're religious or not, whether they care or not, somehow that light is there. The second night, maybe you get 33% attendance. Because that's an awakening from below. First one, God gives you the inspiration. Now you have to create now you have to work on that inspiration. God gives you He gives you like a preview of where you could be, and then He takes it away from you and says, okay, now work for it. So Nisan itself has the ability to give us that awakening, the fresh start, you know, that newness that we always need. And obviously, this is what the spring represents. The spring's a time of plenty, abundance, sunshine, hope, possibility, redemptions on every single help. So again, we are helped in this. We're going to talk about exactly what are some of the things we can connect to, some meditations, etc. Spring also represents renewal, relief, redemption. It just represents newness. You know, January 1st, Lahavdil, is this for newness. That people, you know, the New Year's resolutions, this is the Nisan is. And Rav Nachman tells us it begins in Adar, it begins in Purim. And I've gotten, Baruch Hashem, a big jolt in Purim. I got a big jolt. But Rachman really says it begins in Purim. Nisan just gets you. And you can see just a connection between you know, going to these months. You know, obviously in Adar, the whole Nakuda, the whole point was to be happy. Because once you're happy, you could finally process. But without the joy, you can't even get to the speech. All right, this is the whole concept, and we're going to talk about exactly. So Rosh Chodesh, new month, represents the concept of Matzah Levaviv, the qualities of freedom, renewal, rejuvenation, physically and spiritually. This represents constantly constrictions and barrens. We know Mitzrayim, the word Mitzrayim is Egypt. The word in Mitzrayim itself is the word Yetzer. All your exile is because of Yetzer Hara. All our exiles today is because of our evil inclination. The fact that we're stuck in an emotional exile, it's not God doing it to you, it's your ego. We always said, do not blame God for what your ego did to you. The Yetzer Hara is in Mitzrayim. That's the exile. Where we have a small perspective, but we lose hope. That's all the ego. It's not reality. This is what we're going to get today. And this is why Rav Nachman says, all exiles is a lack of emunah. All exiles begins with lack. Every emotional exile, everything we're going through, there's an emunah aspect. Whether either we lose our self-esteem, we lose our self-confidence, we start becoming insecure, we don't want to have faith, we don't have trust. But if you recognize all of it, it's loss of the self. You lost yourself. And the whole tikkun, the whole rectification is to go back to yourself. But this month, you get extra help from above. You get extra help from above without you doing so much. Then you have to develop it, but you do get that burst of free inspiration. It's a power of Hishkadlus, and obviously the word Chodesh is Chidush. Spring is also the time of Chesed. In the month also, the gift of renewal is God giving us Chesed. God giving us relief from our emotional issues. What's the permutation of God's name? In every single name, there's 12 names. This month, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Everything's in order. When everything's in order, there's flow, there's Shefa, there's bounty. And Adar wasn't. It was a lot of hiddenness, hidden miracles. This month is the revelation of the miracle. Revelation of the exit strategy. Every month has its own thing, but this month Yud Kei Vav Kei, everything's in order. Everything's God willing. You're going to see things in order versus the opposite, and you always see this constant. It's this constant shift, and obviously Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Hey, which we're going to talk about, is the concept of faith. The last Hey, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the letter of the month is Hey. And Hey itself represents faith, represents also humility, represents emunah. So remember, we can have Yud Kei Vav, and we don't have that last Hey, we're in exile. practically, when you have the four letters of God's names, and where, how does that translate? The first yod represents wisdom. The second hey represents understanding. The third, the vav represents your emotions, your ability to create. Your fourth represents your belief system or your faith. So you could see when you have all those four, you have God's name complete, and a person merits redemption itself. The pasuk of the month is Yismehu Hashemayim v'tagel haaretz. The heavens will be happy and the earth will rejoice. It's almost like you're getting now the revelation. If we take the word makshava, which means in Hebrew thought, it's the same word as bisimcha. Our sages are telling us, you want happiness? It all starts with your head. So it all starts with your perspective. So the word makshava and the word simcha have the exact same letters. They both represent the exact same thing. And this is where we can connect to that. Really, really, it's the month of, in the hay. So what is the, also, what does the hay represent? We always speak about this concept of going from the dalet to the hay, right? It's a known concept. Rav Nachman tells us that really when we go from a dalet, when we're poor thinking, God's name is not revealed to us. What we need to go is constantly going from a dalet to the hay. Actually, that's my whole mission in my life. Gedalia. Go from the dalet, add the yud, and become a hey. My whole mission in my life is to turn dalits, deluded thinking, dysfunctional thinking, poor mindsets, bringing the yud, bringing God in their lives, and bringing back the hey. That's my whole mission, is going back to the hey. Bringing back the hey in the person's life, where he sees the perspective is different. It's the whole thing. I already know that's my mission in my life. It's in my name, it's everything. Bringing God's name great again. You know, obviously we have to, you know, somebody gives you a poll. What is your approval of God? You know, some guy's going to give you a Biden poll, 40%, 30%, based on their perspective. But when we have full perspective, we see 100% approval. So the last hey represents God's last name. It also represents the emunah, it represents rest, it represents etc. The higher hey represents something else. But the lower hey represents this concept. Also, we know that the word, the hey itself of in this month, is connected to rest and freedom from enslavement. So that's another thing. We're constantly, it's a constant message of redemption in this month. And he says something very, very beautiful. He says, the Arizal states, and expands that, the womb, a person gets conceived in Tishrei, a person's in his womb in Tishrei, and then he's revealed in Nisan. Understand? There's two new years. There's a new year for the world, and there's the new year for the kings. So in Nisan, a person can have that potential for birth. And obviously you could see, just dealing with the months before, you're dealing with Choshech and darkness and Choshech. You're dealing with, it was all a lot of emotional. Working on your Simcha. Before, what were we working on? Sheva. We're working on facing our, not stuffing our face. Dealing with our Tavot. So first you have to face the issue. Second, you have to be happy. And the third, you have to now speak. And which we're going to talk about exactly what that's saying here. But the concept of the Arizal says, this is all a concept of renewal. It's very, very, very important that Abraham and Sarah, their name was Abram and Sarai, they were running after the hay. They were not complete until the hay. The hay represents the consciousness. Why do they go after people? Because through going after people, through going and carving people, their names were complete. So it also teaches you also in your life. You have a purpose in life, it's going to be complete only when you can give to others. If you just take the knowledge for yourself, if you don't take that knowledge, your name doesn't turn. I mean, Sarai would have not been Sarah unless her and Abraham, they needed the hay. The reason why they were so into carving people and bringing guests is because they needed to give in order to get. So the same thing in our lives. Your ability to get new information and new dot and new is also that this concept of the hey is the more you give, the more God gives you. You just have to make yourself into a channel to give. That's it. But the more we're self-centered, we can't give. This is why it's very, very important. Whatever area of your life, you want to see blessings in your life, become a giver. Because all you are is a channel. It's not even about you. All you are is a channel. So that's another thing of this word hey. Of Abraham and Sarah represent these two concepts. Another beautiful, beautiful concept. Rav Nachman talks about this in Lesson 5. if we take the word chametz, which is prohibited, right? Any form of bread, anything that rises, anything that ego can rise, chametz makes things bigger than it is. What we need to do on Passover is go from chametz to matzah, right? If you take these two words, the only difference between these two words is one is a chet and one is a hey. The only difference. Reb Nachman says you have to go always when your mind is chametz. And how do we take this practically in psychology? Chametz is you're taking something and you're making it much bigger than it is. How do you fix it? Through matzah. Matzah, look at it as it is. It is what it is. Take away the illusions and the imagination. You have a situation, bigger than it is. One of the things our clients do a lot of times when they want to leave strategy or when they want to leave the program, they start case building. You understand? Because obviously anytime we don't want to take accountability for our actions, we have to blame somebody else. So they start case building and my therapist wasn't nice. Oh, I don't like the hotel. I don't like this. They build a case in their own head to justify why they can use again. See, we use this mechanism all the time. We case build. We build certain, we will justify a bunch of things. So when we do the things that are prohibited, at least we have an excuse for it. And I say, wow, when I see that in my clients, I say, that's the Yetzer Hara showing us ourselves. A person doesn't sin automatically. First, he has to create an excuse. He has to justify it. And he has to build a case for it. And then he goes for the kill. Then he doesn't feel so bad about it. Because remember, all we're trying to do is not deal with the guilt. Now, that's the same thing here. We have to be careful with the chametz. And the way you do this is you turn the chet, which is chametz, into the hay. And all that is a little stick. Between the chet and the hay, a little stick. Just a little stick. That's the difference. This is why you're not even allowed to have any form of chametz. Zero. Because when you were in exile, you were full of chametz. To be free, you have to get out of there. You have to get out of there on the run. The Jews were on the run with matzah. They were just straight into emunah. Matzah itself represents faith. It's also a situation a person's going on in his life. He's trying to justify, No, you have to almost just run sometimes the other direction. I tell people all the time, you have to do the exact opposite of how you got into the problem. Same thing as leaving Egypt. They didn't give you you didn't get a ticket on, oh, by the way, we're leaving Egypt in 21 days, pack your bags. Because if they told you to pack your bags, you would never pack your bags. Only sometimes God has to literally take you out of your situation. God's taking you out of Egypt. Many, many stories. I hear this all the time. People have midlife crises. Basically, the midlife crisis is God taking you out of Egypt to get you out of your comfort zone because you were never done it yourself. So that's another thing today. The difference between chet and hey represents, chet represents sin, hey represents humility. That's what we need to connect to. Chet is sin, hey is the humility. That's the hey that we're talking about. That closes the gap between the chet, the arrogance of the chet, which is the ego, being shut. Look at it, beautiful, beautiful how he says it. The chet, the word chet, there's no opening. What does the ego do? It doesn't allow an opening to a person. You want to help them? I'm good. Don't bother me. Closes this perspective. The hay allows the openness. We spoke about yesterday. Opening the doors. Opening your heart. Letting go of the insecurities. Opening. Being receiving love. Not being so closed-minded. Not being afraid to fail. Openness. It's a beautiful concept. So just remember. And that's the difference between matzah and chametz. That little opening. All we need, God tells us all the time, give me an opening and I'll give you everything. But we don't have that opening because we're so insecure. We're so insecure, we're so full of fear, we're so full of this, we don't get that opening. And that's that hey. So remember, when you're thinking about when you're in a bad mood, ask yourself, how's your perspective right now? Not open. Where do you need to go? You need to go from the chet to the hey. Beautiful. And that's exactly the month, this month. Also, obviously, the name of the month represents also miracles. Obviously, Nisan, miracles is in Nisan. And it's the concept of nets. Another beautiful thing he's saying here is the sense of the month. What's the sense of the month? We know Adar represents laughter. This one represents speech. big, big deal speech. We're speaking about the Pesach. We're speaking about the Seder, right? All we're doing in the Seder is talking about the trauma. You were in trauma because the opposite of depression, Edith Eger says, is expression. Just talking things out is enough. When you talk it out, you get it out of your head. Talk things out. This is a month to talk things out. Talk things out to your Creator. Remember, the Jews had no voice. They were emotionally stuck. How about if I told you 100% of the solutions to every single problem you have is going to be done through tefillah, through prayer? Pretty much. The whole point is to get you to prayer. The whole point is to get you to prayer, which is emunah. The whole point. That's the whole point of absolutely everything. All I'm trying to get is people is to focus where they need to go. But when you don't take the prayer, you have all this knowledge, you have like a beautiful machine gun, and you're not even shooting. You're not even shooting because you don't think it's going to work. And this is exactly what we need to do. We need to take that into it. So the sense of the month leading up to the moment the Jewish people were enslaved physically, emotionally, mentally in Egypt. Indeed, the Zohar teaches that the speech, the main, what was in exile was the speech. A slave has no voice. Slave has no voice. They were silent. Exile of speech is the inability to even give voice of even to oneself. Even, God forbid, you see today, people speaking horrible things about themselves. They're in an abusive relationship with themselves. You imagine the exiles in exile. I mean, just to understand. It's enough that other people are going to make comments, but you're going to go butcher yourself? You should take just a test. When I read this study on kinesiology, I was so shocked. Just how much your body is weakened when you have negative self-speech. It's unbelievable. Just take a weight. Think of amazing positive thing. Take like a 25-pound, 30-pound dumbbell and lift it. Think of very positive things and you will see you will be much stronger. You'll be able to lift it. Now think of something terrible. Take the same weight and you won't be able to lift it as much. You see a drastic difference. That's my new thing in the gym. Positive thoughts. The workout is completely different. You're much stronger. When you have positivity, because your body's not weakened. The same thing in our lives. When we're in exile, we become physically and mentally weak. And that's why you have to talk it out, speak it out. And it's funny because the word perach is the same thing as paro. Paro has the word perach. Paro is negative speech. Paro is negative speech. You have to go from paro to pesach. Don't think paro, Mitzrayim, that all this is all, there's a deep Kabbalistic meanings in all these things. Anytime your paro is negative speech, you're being like paro. You're being paro to yourself. You're enslaving yourself. Every time you speak negative to yourself, you are paro. Every time you speak good, you're on an exit out of the strategy. This is what's very, very important in Reb Nachman's main message as a Zamra. No negative self-speech. Learn from failure, but don't say I'm a failure. Don't say I'm this. You have to fix this. You have to be able to fix this because a slave has no voice. Slave has no voice. And we're a slave, we end up with pera, negative mouth. And we need to go to pesach, open mouth. The whole redemption comes from when the speech is fixed. When you're busy complaining before and now you're thanking Hashem, now you're out of your problem. You got the awareness now. It's all the same shift. And this is why, again, Mitzrayim represents Yetzer. Yetzer represents inclination. Our sages have, when you understand the words, and you understand what's in the words, you understand the essence of the words, and you can get energy through those words. And the highest form of speech is singing and praising Hashem. One of the things we do right before Pesach is Hallelujah, praising. Yes, you went through trauma, but I'm praising God in post-traumatic growth. Not post-traumatic stress. Post-traumatic stress is not praising. You got to turn it to post-traumatic growth. Ultimately, our Creator, basically, the way to do it is you have to go through the same exact situation in life and now fix it. So this month is you got to do a lot of positive talking. The speech has to be redemption. And through the speech, we're going to see here. Reb Nachman tells us you have to speak out your thoughts. It's not enough to meditate. The whole world's into meditation. Beautiful. I love it. But nobody's really into speaking it. You understand? Everybody's into the Zen, meditation, But sometimes just meditating, okay, you're calming your mind down, you're recycling garbage, you're hearing the voice. Wonderful. Meditating is amazing. It gets you focused. The studies are amazing. But you want to really take it to the next level? Express it out. Express it out. And the sign of this month is the lamb, right? And this is why the concept of the lamb itself, a lamb could be very weak and undeserving, passive, or the lamb could be used, again, for the redemption. The Jews use the lamb for the redemption. So this is why also, Aries is also, the tribe of the month is Aries. The zodiac is Aries. So Arieses are very, very good. They're excellent at starting things off. Where they get a little weak, obviously, is impatientness, anger, but they're amazing at starting things off. That's that newness of Aries. That newness of Aries. Sometimes they're too critical on themselves, but they have that passion. And fire, you have to use fire this month to use fire to passion, to start yourself up, to get yourself going. The tribe of the month is Judah. Judah obviously was born from Leah. This time I will thank Hashem. Judah represents, again, the concept of Yehudim. The concept of we're Jews. So there's a lot of praising. This month is a lot of, you have to do a lot of praising, a lot of gratitude. The exiles went from complaining to praising. That's how you ultimately rectifying something. Before you complain, now you started praising. You did the exact opposite, and that's the beginning of redemption. The body part for Pesach is associated with the right foot. The right foot Kabbalistically represents also Netzach, and represents also it's the line of Chesed. So the right foot is the ability to run. We run with the right foot, we return with the left foot. Person's walking, leaping. You know, when we're leaving Egypt, we have to jump, run out of there. They use the run. God forces you to run out of some situations. So, but He does it through Chesed. The element, like we spoke about, is fire. So a beautiful concept that he says here. Beautiful. And he says, what are some of the meditations that we could do for this month? What are some of the practical advice? So we already know in potential what we need to do. We already know the zodiac. We already spoke about but how do we bring this? How do we become a vessel for miracles, which is ultimately what we want? And he gives us a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful chiddush here. So he says, first, obviously, like Reb Nachman says, you have to believe in the miracle for the miracle to happen. Reb Nachman says, miracles, faith, the land of Israel is all one. That means a miracle and faith go hand in hand. You have faith, you could see a miracle. But when you lose your faith, you're not going to be able to see miracles. First, the first step, and he gives us beautiful three steps on how to manifest from the Torah source. Speak about manifesting and how to get something, how to turn something from potential to actual. The first thing you need to do, like Reb Nachman says, everything has to go through thought, speech, and action. Right? Most of us, because we're such an exile, and we're so overwhelmed, we can't even speak things out. See the problem? If it's everything stuck in my head, I got to get it out of my head and speak about it. So the first step in hitting anything is speaking about it. Speech is the name of the month. Pesach represents liberation and realignment of the speech. You have to go tell the universe what you want. Tell Hashem what you want. You have to speak it out. Speaking itself creates the vessels. You can't just stay in your head. Speak it out. As it says, when the Jews, because their exile their speech was in exile, Hashem heard their groan. They didn't even have the koach to even say the words, but they heard a groan. And those cries itself, that speech, that created at least an arousal. The above mirrors the below. The very moment there was an opening below, there was an opening above. As they cried, they could hear themselves. Hashem then turned and heard them. This is the number one principle in Kabbalah. Number one principle in Kabbalah. As above, so is below. Anytime we are waiting for things to happen above, without you doing below, already. Basically, we always have to create an arousal ourselves. The arousal has to come. Now, this month, you get the arousal of inspiration to get you to start arousing. You understand? We get the desire to desire. But there's always, as above, so is below. All they had to do is create a little opening by crying out for help, just like you have a friend. They could be constantly in denial, right? Always in denial, always this, denial, shut off. And then they create that phone call. Okay, I need help. Everything changes. Everything changes. That little cry for help, everything changes. Everything shifts when that person becomes vulnerable and says, I need help. Everything changes. The same thing with our Creator. You start, instead of suppressing all the speech, say, Creator of the world, I need help. I want to go in this direction, but I don't have the koach. I need help. That is itself the intention. And this is why the word peh, Nisan is the numerical value of 170. Peh is numerical value of 85. 2 times 85. Double speech on this month. Double speech on this month. The first thing you should do is anytime you want to do something, you have to talk exactly what you want. Tell your Creator exactly what you want. Hashem, I want to get married. Hashem, I want this. I want this. I want that. I want that. I want this. Whatever you want, put it out there. You have to put it out there through not only through meditating, not only through thinking, but through speech itself. The second stage is to create in your mind a visual image of that reality you need. You want to manifest it. Imagine it in detail, coupled with visualizations, verbal creations, and prayers. So you have to, first you have to, because remember, we need the emotion too. If you just say something, you don't believe it. When you visualize something, you're adding the emotional component to it. You understand? Prayer, visualization. Because remember, visualization is very great because you're actually connecting the body and the mind together. It's kavana. The more that it's connected, the more you feel it, the more it comes. And when you do this, before we can stand outside, we have to imagine the reality. We first have to believe in the dream it's possible. In the free, because remember, a lot of times we could be saying something and we don't believe it. But when you start seeing it, then the belief becomes much stronger. You understand? The more I practice something, the more I believe in it. The more I can see it. And then I feel like it's already there. That is really working out your emunah. When you're able to manifest something and you're able to see it happening already, then there's no more fear, there's no more worry, there's no more anxiety. I saw it already. That's why I always say, can you believe it? I always tell my clients, can you see yourself 1 year clean from now? If they say no, then we have a problem with emunah. We have a problem with the belief system. Because if you don't believe it, you're not going to put the effort into it. During the story of the Exodus of Egypt, to become a free people, we first needed to imagine the possibility of freedom. We were slaves for such a long time. How many times do I hear this all the time? I've been single for such a long time. I've been this for struggling for such a long time. I hear this all the time. That is defeated speech. This has been happening for such a long time. We were slaves for such a long time. That we started believing it was not possible for us. Slavery was no longer just a physical condition, but we start thinking of hopelessness. To become redeemed, a person first has to redeem his imagination. I love that. You first have to redeem, you have to use your imagination to work for you, not to work against you. Today, most people are using their imagination predicting things aren't going to happen. They're using their imagination in reverse. When you open up your imagination and you fight this imagination by being constant, having them, remember, the same concept in life. The more faith you have, the less doubt goes away. The more doubt goes away. The more doubt goes, the less faith you have. You can't be spiritually half pregnant. One impacts the other automatically. So the second thing is, again, constantly letting go. Another thing of why we can't imagine something is because we have a very limited perspective. We have a very limited perception, and we don't believe we deserve it. So you have to surrender all of these programs. If you can't see something, then there's a problem with your perspective. or your perception, or your unworthiness, or something that maybe I don't believe I deserve it, etc. So you have to get let go of that. This is the month you can let go of that. The renewal of the newness is all about this concept, removing this. Purim opens up the mindset, and then this is where the real work has to begin. So you actually have to really, really, really work on the manifestation. And the way I do manifestation, again, is always, always, I see it. The more I feel it, the more I know it's happening. The more I know it's happening, but it has to be rehearsed. It has to constantly, for example, when I broke my meniscus, I was just visualizing myself running, running, running everywhere. Running, running, and running. Baruch Hashem, thank God I got healed. I'm running again. First time I did the surgery, the operation didn't work. I didn't believe in it. Second, okay, doctor's not going to help me without my mind helping me. Because remember, the mind is in a much higher conscious level than the body. The mind's at a level 400, the body's at a level 200. So you can do much more with your mind for your body. And that's what Reb Nachman says, medication, all that stuff doesn't work if you don't believe in it. So manifestation is definitely believing in it. And Ge'ula comes from the Ein Sof. The Ayin is beyond the Yesh. Let's talk about this concept, Ayin and the Yesh. Yesh is reality. Ayin is unlimited potential. When we get to Ayin, that's the realm of possibility, as Joe Dispenza says. What does he say? That's the realm of possibility. When he talks about possibility, that's the Ayin that he's talking about Kabbalistically. The Yesh is reality. This is reality, so what I need to do is go from the Yesh, reality, to the Ayin, a place of no blockages. Everything's unlimited. There's unlimited healing in Ayin. That's the ultimate level of healing. That's the level of Keter. It's Ayin. Ayin. It's the highest light. The other one is reality. Here's reality. Ayin. That's what we have to go to. In a person's Yesh reality, things may be seem enslaved, trapped, with no possibility of salvation. But in Ein Sof Ayin, he recognizes that even if a sharp sword is in a person's neck, he should not prevent himself from praying for mercy. So the Yesh is reality, and most people are in Yesh. Yesh is reality. This is the reality. I can't think greater than I feel. You have to get to Ayin, which is Ein Sof. Ein Sof is the only name of God that you should focus on. The name of God of Ein Sof means unlimited. Limitless. There's no limit. There's no limit there's endless possibilities. That's the name that heals a person when he connects to Ayin, because there's nothing blocking. Yesh, reality. So you have to be able to recognize the reality, but you need to be able to take your mind to Ayin, to a place of that. And again, you have to have a lot of chutzpah to do this. And you have to have a lot of self-esteem to believe that this is a possibility. And because people have been crippled of the self-esteem, they don't think they could even get to there. So they say, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. I tried. It doesn't work. You think to get to this level, you think it's going to take you one shot? When you say it doesn't work, you just have to recognize it's only the Yetzirah pushing you down. It's only the Yetzirah. You should never say that word. It's exactly what the Yetzirah does. That's a paro mindset. You're going to live in paro. Para. Bad speech. Get out of that. Break the resistance. The more resistance there is, the more it needs to be broken. Keep on breaking that resistance. Keep on. Your job is to keep on breaking that resistance. Resistance. Keep on breaking the resistance. And once you get to that point, so remember, for miracles to occur, we need to believe they can occur. So once you've done this process of praying for it, manifesting it, putting it into the universe, putting it into visualizing it, then you need to surrender the outcome. And this is where the third step most people have a problem with. Because they do the work, and then what do they do afterwards? Where's my FedEx tracking number? Do you have a tracking number for me? We cannot put a stopwatch on God. That's showing no trust. Surrender the outcome. Walk around like it's already there. That's how you do it. This is a Kabbalistic book. This is not the secret. This is a Kabbalist. This is coming from a Kabbalistic book. It's what they're telling you. The third and most detailed stage in the process of becoming a vessel for miracles is to be humble, as suggested by the Mazal of the month, the Aries, the Lamb. Part of being humble is being grateful and giving thanks, which is the theme of the tribe of Judah. After our hearts speak in prayer, then we have to go into Bittul and surrender the outcome. That means when you're telling me I have trust in Hashem, I have bitachon in Hashem, I have trust, but I'm exhausted dating. You have not surrendered the outcome. It's not true. It doesn't work because you have energy. A proof that something works is if you have energy. Period. If you have no energy, the energy is coming from fear. Something's blocking that to coming. And this is where you have to constantly work on it. And this is the concept of Moshe. Moshe represented ayin. Ayin is formless potential that precedes the creation of any particular somethingness. Creation is an existing flowing from ayin. When a person humbles himself with extreme self-sacrifice, his self becomes a selfless self. He becomes this content of ayin. So this is where I'm trying to explain to you. You want to get to the next level, you have to start surrendering the outcome. A lot of us have the beginning. We could pray about it. We can visualize a little bit. But then you have to just let go and let God. Then things will happen in your life. Usually, as Jews, we're very controlling. Show me the money. Show me the success. Show me this. You are not playing God. That is on God's timetable. There's a reason why He's giving it to you at a certain time. Sometimes He wants to hear how bad you want it. Sometimes He wants you to prepare for the vessel. But the biggest arrogance that the world is doing is saying, show me the money, and they don't even have a pocket. They don't have a wallet to put the money in. You understand? Get me married, and you have zero self-esteem. Get me married, God, please. It's like giving a 16-year-old $1 billion, and he'll kill himself. Don't ask for more light. Ask to become the vessel. This is the most important thing you have to understand that. Do not ask for more light. Ask to become a vessel. And the way you do that is by developing this concept. Remember, speak it, visualize it, manifest it, dream it. One of the ways that my wife, she told me why she became so successful, is when she was a little girl, her grandmother told her, prepare your dreams. All of a sudden, she prepared herself becoming a big designer and all this, and she got everything. Because she prepared, she manifested the dreams. You see, as little kids, we can do that because we're not so controlling. As adults, we start getting controlling. We start getting frustrated when things don't happen. And we get this kotzer ruach. We lose our patience and we blame other people. This is the most important thing. I've hit tremendous amount of goals in my life. And the greatest thing I've done is one thing. Let go of the outcome. Create the world, give it to me when you want to give it to me. If it's good for me, give it to me. I will continue doing the work. And then if you're able to, that's why it's very important. I can't tell you enough. You cannot waste your mornings. Your mornings are, this is the time to do all this work. You cannot waste your mornings sleeping and want all these things. You cannot be waking up at 9 o'clock reacting to the world and be upset while you're not getting what you're getting. You have to self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice, I'm giving up sleep. I sleep when I win. I don't sleep when I'm tired. You sleep when you win. And you have to recognize that. There's a certain price you have to pay. You have to wake up at a certain... If you want these things, there's a certain amount of things you have to do, which is called Mesurat Nefesh. Mesurat Nefesh, God opens up the door. You're in the VIP club. When you have Mesurat Nefesh, you break your sleep to manifest. To do this in the morning, you will get everything. But you're not willing to manifest. You're not willing to sacrifice a little bit of sleep. Your bed is your enemy. You have to put... next thing you do, go to your bed and put, this is the enemy. The snooze button is your enemy. Bottom line, the snooze button is your enemy. You need a certain amount of time for this. Because the more you practice it, the more it becomes second nature to you. It'll become second nature. Okay, we have an issue. What do we manifest? You just go into that space. And that's the place where magic happens. That's the place where miracles happens. And this is where, I mean, the answer's there, but we got to get to work. Hashem, help us that we should all merit breakthroughs. And you should learn from your breakdowns what went wrong. But the most important advice I can give you, surrender the outcome. A lot of New Yorkers have a hard time. They just can't let go of the outcome. They can't let go. They have to control everything. The Vilna Gaon says, you plant a seed and you walk away. Whether it rains, it's up to Hashem. How fast it grows, it's up to Hashem. You have to plant the seed. And but more importantly, you have to walk away. Because if you're always trying to put more soil, put more water, the seed's going to spoil. Let your creator, Emunah, make things grow. Hashem, help us that we should all get miraculous. But this month, you'll get at least the arousal to want to win. You'll at least get you'll want to win. Before, you don't even want to win. You want to stay in the closet and be comfortable your whole life. Now you at least want to win, but now it has to be developed. Have a great day.